My name is Dennis Freeman. I was born in 1946. My dad was born in 1899, and he worked mainly for Schofields as a shop fitter. And my mother was born in 1906, and she was a housewife. My grandfather on my mother's side was the gamekeeper up at Temple Newsham.
My name is Margaret Freeman, and I was Margaret Pritchard before we got married. I was born in 1947. My mum, she was just a housewife. My dad was a miner at Ollerton Bywater. He did finish up at Mount Pleasant, up at Sullington there. He was a deputy. I don't know much really about my granddad, George Pritchard, they called him. He was a miner. I think he originated from Shropshire. When I first went to the brewery, I was on the switchboard, and I was in the reception area with the commissioner, Paddy, mad Irishman, and he used to do the post and answer the phone on the switchboard.
Where was the switchboard?
It was in the main office, the big stone building, the house. It was a house.
How did you get the job?
Well, it was just word of mouth. How I heard about it was one of my next door neighbours, Julie Lilly. She worked down in the Wen Spirit Stores, and she came home and said that they were wanting somebody on the switchboard. So me and my mum, we went down to see Charlie. My mum knew Charlie. Charlie Fowler. Yeah, he interviewed me and I got the job.
Can you remember what he asked you in the interview?
Oh, no.
Were you frightened?
No, not really. No. Nice man. He was a nice man.
Who else apart from Paddy can you remember?
Well, there was the cashiers, all the people that worked in the cashier's office, Billy Ward, Joyce Rigglesworth, and Johnny Pickersgill, he worked there, Ronnie Higgins.
So there were quite a few people who worked in that office
block there. Oh, yeah, there was an upstairs, or Mr. Hanks, the director, and there was Mrs. Lockery, she was Mr. Fowler's secretary. And say Mr. Hanks, he was the director. Then there were upstairs, there was all the accounts in the machine room where they processed all the invoices. There was Anne Ambler, there was Miss Edwards, and there were some girls, Margaret Warrilow. Well, she was on the switchboard, but when you got to a certain age, it was sort of just a junior job. You had to, progress further up the ladder, if you like. So she did the switchboard in Margaret Warrilow. She showed me what to do. So she got up into the machine room with there. Oh, there was a girl called June Britton. She came from Rothwell.
Tell me about the switchboard. Do you know how many extensions you had?
Quite a lot. I think there were about 39. Five incoming lines and 39 extensions.
And how did the switchboard work? What was it, a modern thing in the 60s?
No. It was an old-fashioned eyes, flicking eyes, yeah. Oh, when I went, it was a relatively new one, but it was still old. It was old-fashioned.
And did you have to take cords and plug them into holes and things?
Yeah, right. And the handle, you had to wind handle around. And then we had internal phones as well, so if people wanted to speak to you internally from an office upstairs or people down the yard, they rang you on the internal phone.
And did you have many people coming through the door on foot, as it were?
Oh, yeah, people. Yeah, they'll come to see, Mr. Fowler or Mr. Hanks, the reps and people like that, yeah.
There was a man called Alf Rayner as well.
Yeah,
what did he do?
He was the accountant. He was upstairs next to the boardroom.
And what did you progress to after you'd been on the switchboard?
Well, I went into the cashier's office first, and then I couldn't do that. It was too complicated, so I got moved over into the order office. And that's where, Dennis, you came into the order office, didn't you?
How did you get your job, Dennis?
I don't know. I got the job because I worked in Wakefield for West Riding County Council for when I left school. And then I came to Bentley's in 1965, but I can't remember whether I applied for a job or whether it was word of mouth again.
Can you remember how much you might have been paid in those first years?
Oh, no, it was the biggest wage rise I ever got, because I was paid £5 a week in the council and I got £10 a week when I came to, so I doubled my money. And there were no travelling involved, so it was wonderful with that.
So it wasn't as though they were poor payers at Bentley,
sir?
No. Well, I got £5.05 when I started. That was in 1962. That was quite, you know, a lot of money.
Right, so it was better than quite a lot of other jobs then?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Plus, you'd no travelling or anything.
No travelling, yeah.
It was great.
And were there lots
Free
of...
beer.
Were there quite a few young people like yourselves, or was everybody older than you when you first got there?
No, there were a few young ones, weren't there? Eric Simpson and...
Yeah, Jean Mortimer, she was a comptometer operator. Mm.
Did your parents have any reservations about you going to work at a brewery?
No.
He got an allowance. Yeah. No, we were great with allowance.
There was allowances.
Mottles of Timothy and things, it was wonderful.
So which you could take home to your mum and dad?
Yeah. They used to get them four times a year, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about what you mean by the machine room. What kind of machines
were
there?
They were accounting machines that they used to, you know, record all the deliveries so they could look back and see what people had ordered, you know, a few months ago. And they printed the invoices out.
They weren't computers as such?
No, they were big, just accounting machines. I don't know because, I used to go up there, but I never got involved really with them.
And had they been there a long time, those machines?
Oh, as far as when I was there. I don't think they were modern, no. They were big, big ugly things, right, big machines.
And how many people would you say were in that room?
In the machine room? There were about four or five.
And they were generally women?
Yeah, they were all women, yeah. But in the accounts, there were men and a couple of women in there.
And what did you progress to then? Tell me the sequence of jobs that you had.
Well, I was on the switchboard, and then I went over to the order office, taking orders from the landlords. And then things progressed, then Whitbread's took over, and they introduced a system, a Dreamer machines. They were horrendous, weren't they? Mm. Always breaking down. So those printed the invoices out then. We did that then. And then... into the comps office then, Whitbread's took over and things progressed more. So I got to go into the comps office. Comptometer operators were in there, I was in there with them. And the old system just altered then. It was a different system altogether, wasn't it, when Whitbread's took over with the invoices. And we used to deal with the loading notes, making all the loading notes out for the lorries to assemble the beer down the yard. We used to do that.
So the process was that the landlord would ring you up on the phone, was it?
Mm, yeah.
And he'd say to you he wanted so many barrels of beer and other things.
That's it. When then we used to take the orders off the phone, and in the order office there was the two girls on the phone. Me, I don't know what other girl was. It was always somebody different. And in there, Mr. Naylor was the office manager in there. Then there was the bottled ale clerk, the beer...
Colin Barker.
Yeah. And then there was the cask ale clerk, the tobacco clerk, which Dennis used to do, then the wine and spirit clerk. So we were all in together. I took the order to Mr. Naylor. He got it all assembled out onto what load there were going on the lorries. And then the orders were passed to the... bottled ale clerk, cask ale clerk, and they all went round in that order then. So they put them on machines and processed the order, and then the cask ale invoices went down to the yard, didn't they, to the cask...
That's what I did first of all when I came. Cask ale clerk, yeah.
What did that involve?
Well, I used to receive the orders that what all the houses wanted, and then we had this machine, a pile of... blank invoices. You used to put them into this machine and it used to fold them through. Then you used to write out all the orders, add them all up, and then you got a handle, pull the handle, the invoice used to come out at the top. Then you used to put all the invoices down, and then they'd all would have to go down the yard then with all these invoices and mark up all the barrels. Right, we used to write all the name round the side of the barrels. So... we had a Mrs. Wrigglesworth in the Gascoigne. He used to write Wrigglesworth about 10 times round. Instead of putting Gascoigne or something, he had to write Wrigglesworth. And so that's what he did. He used to go down, mark up all the barrels, and then come back up And that was about it for the day.
And then you used to start on the afternoon.
Start on the afternoon on the with the next day's orders.
So that bit of writing on the barrels, that was indicating which pub it had to go.
Yeah, and then when they used to go out on the loading bay, they all used to be marked up Wrigglesworth, so they knew that all these were for Wrigglesworth and all these were for Bastow or whoever. So they didn't you put the pub names on, they put the landlord's name on.
Can you remember the names of the pubs that you dealt with? What were the pubs that took a lot of beer and...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, now when we go riding round, we had to ride out to Huddersfield, didn't we, the other day? Mm. And, you know, the towns we were going through, and I said to Dennis, oh, we used to have a pub here. You know, Bentley's Yorkshire Breweries, didn't we? Lockwood and the Wagon and Horses.
Sissit and Kirkburton.
Yeah, we were round up there, yeah.
And in Castleford, they used to get 20 barrels a week and or more of them.
Sometimes Dale Hotel,
Queen's Head, loads of them.
20 barrels of beer a week, goodness.
And were they all pubs that were owned by the brewery and had tenanted?
Tenanted, hardly any managed houses. Well, we hadn't any managed houses to start with.
No.
They were all tied houses, yeah.
They
couldn't order from anywhere else.
And how did the money side of things work then? Did they have to, even though they were tied houses, they'd have to pay for the beer that they got?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. That wasn't our job, though, if we weren't involved in the payment side of it.
Yeah.
Except people, sometimes if they were on bad payers list, they had to come in and pay for their for the beer before they actually had it delivered. So we had the odd one of those. But there weren't many like that, because, I mean, pubs were doing well.
Thriving, yeah.
Yeah, 20 barrels a week is quite a lot of beer, isn't it?
Of course, they were all mining areas. They used to have to open the doors, and that was it. Now you have to entertain them, food and all the lot. But before, it was just a matter of opening up.
Can you remember the beer that you were distributing, the names of the beers that you were selling?
The casks were only bitter and mild. That was all. You didn't have any lagers, and only bottles of lager. But even that came in probably with Whitbread, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you'd got things like Eschild and Elder and Bentley Special, Timothy,
Jubilee and Guinness.
I think
the only bottle lager they sold was Carlsberg, wasn't it? And then they did Pilsner came in then later on.
And what else would a landlord order apart from those things?
Wines and spirits, cigarettes.
Minerals.
And were they branded with Bentley's name, all of those things?
Yeah, I mean, like things like Eva Cream was Bentley's sherry, and Amaranti sherry, Glenafton,
that's what it was. Their own brand whiskey. They used to get it from the bonded warehouse and blend it themselves down here in the spirit stores. Mm. It was Glenafton, wasn't it? Then they did their own gin as well.
Yeah, their own gin, Viola rum. Amaranti, port. They were all Bentley's ones because they had their own bonded warehouse in Leeds.
And so did they sell other brands as well, things like Teachers and what
have you? Yeah, they did.
Oh, yeah, Teachers, Johnny Walker, all them kind of things.
They didn't specify what they wanted, the wit to
get,
put down.
They'd get, if they just had a bottle of whiskey, they'd get Bentley's whiskey. They had to nominate what they wanted, or they'd just get Bentley's products.
And presumably they'd have to pay more for a brand name than a Bentley's name.
Yeah.
So what jobs did you progress to, Dennis, after you'd started?
Well, I started as a cask ale clerk, then I went to be in the tobacco room, which involved the same sort of thing, writing out orders, then going and assembling them. And a girl used to come up from the spirit stores and pack them all for us, and then they all used to go down into the spirit stores and the cigarettes would go out with all the wines and spirits then.
Was there any kind of special security because you were dealing with expensive tobacco and wines and spirits?
Well, the tobacco room was always locked up. It was always got a lock on it.
And it shut it down,
yeah.
And was the tobacco branded as well, or was that?
Oh, it was. They were all Woodbines, and there's no Bentley's ones. They were all just Woodbines, senior service players, all the usual ones.
And do you know how that got delivered to the brewery, where
it
came from?
We used to have to order it then, and it used to come by British Road Services and people like that. So we used to order it from Gallagher, Wills and Players, and then they used to, British Road Services used to...
Did you used to do the ordering then?
We used to order it all, yeah. We used to have to do a stock after every... We'd assemble all the cigarettes for the day, then we had to go and do a stock check then to make sure you'd got everything right. And if anything was wrong, then we had to go and open up the parcels and find out where what was wrong. So it had to all balance. Mr. Ambler was very keen on that. So
Ambler looked after the cigarettes.
Oh yeah,
well,
Ambler wines and spirits. Yeah. Well, that was upstairs. The spirit stores were upstairs in the wines and spirits store.
Did you go around the rest of the brewery to where they made the beer and where they put it into the barrels?
Oh yeah. The casks were all filled down in the cellars, and then they were all left open, and then they were all capped then eventually. But they were all, we used to see them all stood there with all the
fobbing.
All the
beer fobbing
coming out of them. And they all used to have little cups inside the jackets. And they'd roll them over and have a drink.
And was that officially testing it?
No. No. I mean, it was a great job, it was a cask ale job, because you used to go down, mark up all the barrels, then go sit in the little room that they had where we had a drink and that.
And was any of the really old equipment, that, because the brewery was famous for brewing its beer in these stone square vats.
Yeah.
Was that still there in the 1960s?
Oh, yeah.
And they were still using it, were they?
Yeah. Whitbread took all that out, and it was all steel things then.
When Whitbread's came, you stopped brewing beer quite quickly,
I think, we did. They used to come in by tankers then.
And what about you, Margaret? Did you go around the brewery much?
Well, I didn't much, no, but I remember when I'd been there a bit, they took me down to show me into the cellars, and I remember seeing all the girls bottling the BYB special, on the old-fashioned machines, and that was absolute how they did it. You know, filling them like this by hand, like you see them on the television for filling pop bottles and that, but this were beer, they're filling on a big machine, and they were at it all the time. Yeah, it was quite interesting, that.
And was it a noisy place, that?
Yeah, it was quite noisy, yeah.
And do you remember any of the people who did that work?
There was Nellie Barra from Swillington. I remember her, but I don't remember anybody else.
What do you remember about the smell of the place?
Oh, I used to love it, the smell.
Yeah, smell of brewing.
Yeah, you could smell it. Where we lived in Eshup Place, you could always smell if the wind was in this direction, the brewing at the brewery today, the lovely smell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and it's not like a brewery smell. We don't get it now, because... Even Tetley's has gone now, hasn't it? So there's nobody around here now.
Try and describe it to me.
I don't know. It was just a moorish smell to me. Yeah, very nice.